Will the House please come to order? The Chief.
Anderson. Bagby.
Here.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel. Esquivel,
here.
Gilmore,
here.
Gingery, Gingery,
here.
Goggles,
here.
Hales,
here.
Hallinan,
here.
Hammonds,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harvey,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jorgensen,
here.
Landon,
here.
Landon, Lockhart,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey, Mercer, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Patterson, Patterson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Anderson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Mercer,
excused.
Mercer excused, Pedersen,
here.
59 present, 1 excused.
The Reverend Kurt Borgard is here again to lead us in prayer from the First Christian Church in Cheyenne. Reverend Borgard.
Let's lift our hearts to God. Gracious, eternal God, once again, you have granted us another wonderful day of life. And again, we pause in the midst of busy agendas to gratefully recognize your presence and to seek your blessing for this day. We thank you for life, and we thank you for the freedoms that you grant and that we enjoy. May we never take our life, our freedom, or liberty for granted. May we never use our freedom and liberty as an opportunity for selfish gain, but as an opportunity to seek the health, the wellness, and vitality of all people, the people we serve, and the communities in which we live. Help us to passionately serve and hold high our standards. Grant us the health and the strength to do the work that you have brought us here to do today. And we pray for your wisdom and your spirit of grace. Gracious and mighty God, we ask for your presence in the life of all those who face difficulties with their personal circumstances, with their health, and with those who face loss. Again, we ask for your spirit of comfort and strength for our loved ones who make sacrifices so that we might serve in this place. As we gratefully and humbly come to serve the good people of Wyoming, may these blessings be ours today. For it is to you and it is in your name, gracious Creator and Redeemer God, that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great prayer. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. You know, do we have the same person that yells play ball every day?
Childers.
Okay.
Thank you.
The doctor of the day is Dr. Ron Malm from Cheyenne. Dr. Malm, welcome again if he's here. Thank you for being here. There you are. Thank you. Journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 10th has been read and recommends that it be approved. Representative Moniz, Representative Barbuto.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 29, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Anderson, Edmonds, Escobel, Goggles, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semwick, Wallace. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman.
We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move consideration of third reading consent list consisting of House Bill 69, 73, 108, 136, 161, 162, 177, 184, 191, 211, 213, 244, 253, 267, 283, 286, 289, 298, 301, 302, 313, and House Joint Resolution 16.
Ladies and gentlemen, you probably noticed we're doing third reading first this morning. Once we complete this, we will then proceed into the second reading on the budget, most likely after lunch. Would anyone like to remove a bill from the consent list? Would the reading clerk please read the consent list bills through their enacting clause?
House Bill 69, introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to school finance, driver's education program funding, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 73, introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to crime victims, reporting and notification, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 108, introduced by Representative Teeters, an act relating to school districts regarding school activity participation fees, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 136, introduced by Representative Childers, an act relating to the federal natural resource policy, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 161, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to the administration of government regarding Serve Wyoming, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 162, introduced by Representative Millen, an act relating to state employee retirement regarding military credit, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 177, introduced by Representative Millen, an act relating to the Board of Dental Examiners, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 184, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding mineral taxes, audit, and refund, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 191, introduced by Representative Cohey, an act relating to motor carrier transportation contracts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 211, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding veterans' license plates, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 213, introduced by Representative Yagi, an act relating to conservation districts, rangeland monitoring, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 244, introduced by Representative Cohey, an act relating to medical care, uncompensated trauma care, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 253, introduced by Representative Landon, an act relating to the administration of government regarding health care commission, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 267, introduced by Representative Cohey, an act relating to commercial motor vehicles and their definitions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 283, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding digital products, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 286, introduced by Representative Korberg, an act relating to the federal natural resource policy account, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 289, introduced by Representative Mercer, an act relating to the child protection cases and their hearings, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 298, introduced by Representative Hallinan, an act relating to the Medical Practice Act revisions, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 301, introduced by Representative Lockhart, an act relating to the administration of government, Wyoming Industry Partnership, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 302, introduced by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, an act relating to the game and fish regarding pioneer licenses, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 313, introduced by Representative Korberg, an act relating to child care facility certification, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Joint Resolution Number 16, introduced by Representative Philp, a joint resolution requesting Congress to pass effective and meaningful immigration law reform, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bonner. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lebno, Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer excused, Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 69, are there any changes? Shepperson, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Illaway, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Hallinan, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Roscoe, aye to no. Simlick, aye to no. Lockhart, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 43 ayes, 16 noes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 73, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 108, are there any changes? Harvey, aye to no. Lubno, aye to no. Barbudo, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Thompson, aye to no. Bagby, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Are there any other changes?
Simpson, aye to no.
Simpson, Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Are there additional changes? The vote is closed. 45 ayes, 14 noes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 136, are there any changes? Swanitz or Dan? Aye to no. Connolly? Aye to no. Millen? Aye to no. Throne? Aye to no. Hales? Aye to no. Gingery? Aye to no. Jorgensen? Aye to no. Hammonds? Aye to no. Landon? Aye to no. Goggles? Aye to no. Barbudo? Aye to no. Roscoe? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 ayes, 13 noes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 161, are there any changes? Landon? Aye to no. Korberg? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 162, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 177, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 184, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 191, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 211, are there any changes? Stubson, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Brown, aye to no. Hales, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Esquibel, aye to no. Harshman, aye to no. Hammonds, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Jorgensen, aye to no. Millen, aye to no. Shepperson, aye to no. Cohey, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Roscoe, aye to no. Gingery, aye to no. Berger, did she wish to change it? Representative Berger, would you confirm your vote? Okay. Berger, aye. Hallinan, aye to no. Swanitz or Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 39 ayes, 20 noes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 213, are there any changes? Jorgensen, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Swanitz or Dave, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 244, are there any changes? Shepperson, aye to no. Hallinan, aye to no. Semlich, aye to no. Swanitz or Dave, aye to no. Illaway, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Esquibel, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 ayes, 13 noes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 253, are there any changes? Illaway, aye to no. Buchanan, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Gingery, I. Tenneau. Miller, I. Tenneau. Philp, I. Tenneau. Peterson, I. Tenneau. McCombie, I. Tenneau. Brechtel, I. Tenneau. Patton, I. Tenneau. Kraft, I. Tenneau. Meyer, I. Tenneau. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 ayes, 13 noes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 267, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 283, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 286, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 289, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 298, are there any changes? Steward, conflict. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 excused, 1 conflict. As to House Bill 301, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Lockhart, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 302, are there any changes? Madden, aye to no. Steward, aye to no. Roscoe, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Illaway, aye to no. Buchanan, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Shepperson, aye to no. Patton, aye to no. McCombie, aye to no. Philp, aye to no. Childers, aye to no. Simlick, aye to no. Hallinan, aye to no. Simpson, Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 43 ayes, 16 noes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 313, are there any changes? Hales, aye to no. Brown, aye to no. Harshman, aye to no. Moniz, aye to no. Millen, aye to no. Steward, aye to no. Dirks, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Carson, aye to no. Illaway, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Roscoe, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Esquibel, aye to no. Gingery, aye to no. Hammonds, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Goggles, aye to no. Barbudo, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Bagby, aye to no. Thompson, aye to no. Wallace, aye to no. Harvey, aye to no. Jorgensen, aye to no. Shepperson, aye to no. Gilmore, aye to no. Lubno, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Simpson, Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 29 ayes, 30 noes, 1 excused. As to House Joint Resolution 16, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 69, 73, 108, 136, 161, 162, 177, 184, 191, 211, 213, 244, 253, 267, 283, 286, 289, 298, 301, 302, and House Joint Resolution 16 have passed the House. Having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 313 has failed the House. We're at that order of business, and bills are on third reading and final passage. A regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 32.
House Bill 32, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish regarding gray wolf management, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one. What this amendment does deals with what's called the predation law. So before I can explain, I have to sort of back up a little bit so you understand how this fits in.
Oh, I know.
When the judge up in Montana, he was a federal judge, he made a determination as to what potentially was wrong with our plan. And essentially it came down to two things that he was looking at. I'm sort of simplifying this. But the one thing that he thought was problematic was the dual status of trophy predator. This amendment has nothing to do with that. The second thing he had an issue with is what's called the predation law. The predation law deals with killing a wolf outside of, doesn't matter if you're in trophy or predator or neither one, it's when the wolf is actually going after livestock in the act of doing it or about to be in the act of doing it. The difficulty is that our predation law was a little dated. And so what the judge said was Wyoming should try and look more like Idaho, Montana, or even the federal 10J rule. And all three of those look very similar to what's in front of you here as the amendment. The one that we have on our books was a little antiquated. And so the judge said we should update ours to look more like Montana or Idaho or the feds. And here's what it does. It says that if a wolf is in the act of attacking livestock or a domesticated animal, that you can shoot it immediately, and you just need to notify the game warden, and that's it. Or even if it's not in the actual act, but you'll see this on line 18 through 20, that it's harassing or molesting or chasing in a manner that would indicate to a reasonable person that actual biting, wounding, grasping, or killing is likely to occur. So you don't have to actually wait for the wolf to attack your livestock. If it looks like he's to a reasonable person, like that's what that wolf's intent is, you can go ahead and shoot it. And again, this is outside, doesn't matter which area you're in, trophy, predator, whatever. And the reason for bringing this amendment, if our intent is to put the law to a place where we can fight in the courts, if that's the will of this body is to go to court and to fight, what you want to do is be able to give your attorney, in this case the Attorney General, the ability to only have to fight one front. You don't want to have to fight on multiple issues. So by going ahead and adopting this and say, fine, the courts seem to think our predation law is not the best it could be, let's update it to make it look more like Montana and Idaho and the federal 10J rule. That way the Attorney General is not having to fight two different battles when he goes to court. All he's going to have to fight is this distinction on the dual status, and he won't have to fight this issue. This is an issue, even if it goes to court, I don't see how we would actually win this. When you read our present statute, it is so nebulous and hard to interpret that I don't see any court ever agreeing that we have a predation law that the courts are going to sign off on. So with that said, I would encourage you to vote aye on amendment number one.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I would speak against this amendment. If you put this high of a standard on, you might as well just say you can't shoot them, because you very rarely see a predator in the act of, what does it say, biting, wounding, grasping, or killing. You know, on our place, we've over the years, we've lost thousands of sheep to coyotes, and I've only seen two instances where I actually saw, once I saw a pair of coyotes standing over a lamb right after they had killed it, and another time we had some sheep in a feedlot and we were losing lambs, and I sat on top of the sheep shed and waited early in the morning, and sure enough, this coyote came in and was chasing the sheep and would have killed one if I hadn't shot at it and missed. But you know, I just think this is too high of a standard, and I'd ask you to vote no on this.
Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would have to agree with the previous speaker, not only with this bill in particular. I think we've discussed it over the years, and I think the way we talk about allowing the flexibility for the landowner, and I thoroughly agree with the previous speaker on how that's handled, but also going to limiting the burden on the Attorney General in fighting an issue like this, I have to thoroughly disagree with that. I mean, we need to set policy in this body, and I think we need to set policy what's best for the citizens. And I also think that the Attorney General should take those policies that we set best for all the citizens in the state and carry that forward into court. While legally the judge in Missoula made some decisions that he rightfully should have, I think that the attorneys that brought it to him didn't bring the type of things for him to seriously consider, and that's always a problem in the court. And I think we need to bring very specifically what the Attorney General needs to fight, in particular what we interpret as laws for our state as well as the federal government. So on and against the amendment.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, in the years that I've been in this legislature, we've expanded the trophy areas. We've allowed more packs. We've done everything that the feds or somebody else has told us that we can do. And then we'll be able to be out of this wolf situation and be able to manage the wolves in Wyoming. And none of them has worked. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm against this amendment, and I'm against the bill. Let's go back to where we were, and this is going to be decided in the courts no matter what we do.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against the amendment, and on and against the bill, and I'll talk more about that when, under the Delete the Enactment, third reading, Amendment 3. I disagree with the prior speaker there about some of those comments, but I don't think this amendment fixes the problem with regard to when a landowner should rightfully be able to take. And I appreciate the ideas and philosophies of the good chairman from Teton County, but I would urge you to vote no on this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My only comment would be, in closing, is that Montana seems to get by with this. Idaho seems to get by with this. The Federal 10J rule is this. I'm having difficulty understanding why all of a sudden this is such a high standard when two states that already have this in place seem to be working very well with this standard. Here's the issue. The courts are going to throw this out. I mean, they're going to throw out our existing law. It's just whether or not we want to fix it now or we want to wait 5 years from now once all this runs through the course of the courts. I'd rather fix it now. I'd urge you to vote aye.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 32. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 32 has failed. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move third reading amendment number 2. What this amendment does, it deletes the entire bill, and it puts in its place essentially what was House Bill 21, which was a bill that was previously here. And what that bill does is takes us to trophy game status and gets rid of predator status. And here's why to do this. And I explained this in committee. Anybody ever seen the old show with Perry Mason where at the end of the show he'd have the witness up there and he'd ask them one or two questions, and all of a sudden they'd jump up, and they weren't even the suspect, and all of a sudden they'd jump up, and I did it, it was me, I killed the guy. There seems to be this impression that the feds misled us, they lied to us. Sure, I'll agree. And there seems to be this reckoning day that we're hoping for, where suddenly we're going to have some federal official on the stand where they're going to jump up and go, yeah, we lied to you, yeah, we misled you. I don't see that ever happening. Number one, the federal officials change so often. Now we have a new administration. So the old administration can't stand up now and say they're sorry. We have new bureaucrats that come and go within the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I don't see that ever happening where we get this vindication, which seems to be the underlying force of what we want. What I would urge us to do is get past that. The wolves are here. It's not as if the feds are going to show up someday and say, oh, we were wrong. We'll take them all home with us now and pack them up and take them back to D.C. with them. They're here. We're going to have to live with it. Do you want the feds to run the program, or would you rather the people of Wyoming, through the State Game and Fish Commission, run the program? I personally would rather the state of Wyoming run the program. So if we forget about past, and we just look to the future, how do we fix this? And we say, I want the state to run this. I want the people of Wyoming to run this program. What needs to be done to get to that point? The judge in Missoula, the federal judge, you could argue maybe he's an activist judge. I don't think so. Here's what he did. He took the Endangered Species Act, and you can argue that you don't like the Endangered Species Act, and that's fine. Go get it fixed and change it. But here's what a judge does. He picks up the Endangered Species Act. He picks up the Wyoming plan, and he says, do these two fit? And it's obvious they don't fit. And so when they don't fit, the judge has to say, okay, which pieces of the Wyoming plan does not fit the federal law? He pointed out two things. He said, your predation law needs to be more like Idaho and Montana. And he said, this predator status thing is not going to work. You're going to have to come up with a different way of doing it. Montana and Idaho figured out how to do it. If two other states in the West can figure out how to do it, I'm still perplexed why we can't figure it out. What this bill does, it takes us to trophy game status. It fixes the predation law. And it does a third thing that the judge didn't ask for, but which I think we really need to look at. Throughout all of these bills that we've looked at dealing with wolves, we keep putting the management plan inside the statutes. We don't do that with other types of wildlife. We actually let Game and Fish Commission do their job. So you'll see in here, there are no numbers. We don't set the numbers. We don't set all the criteria. We leave that up to the Game and Fish Commission. We trust them to do their job. Now, if the legislature wants to actually do wildlife management within statutes, you know, that's a policy decision. And it appears we've decided to do that for one particular species, the wolf, and not do it for others. I think we need to trust our Game and Fish Commission and give them the power to make this right. And I would urge you to vote aye on the amendment.
let's be done with this. You know, here's what's going to happen. I mean, I'll just tell you the future. We're going to go to court, and we're going to lose. It's just that simple. We don't exactly have the best track record in the Tenth Circuit. I mean, some people have argued, boy, let's get it out of the Ninth Circuit. We'll bring it down to the Tenth Circuit. They're more favorable to Wyoming. Do a search. You'll find that on almost every case that this legislature, and the latest one being the one on VAWA, we lose. So this idea that somehow the Attorney General is going to go down there and work these miracles, it's not going to happen. You know, he's only as good as the facts that we give him. And we're not exactly giving him much to work with. So he'll go down there and fight, and he'll probably go up to the Tenth Circuit. It'll lose. And then 5 years from now, someone's going to go, well, whatever happened to that bill that representative from Teton County had? Let's pull that out, and I guess we'll run it now. That's what's going to happen. And do we wait the 5 years to do that, or we just go ahead and do it now and be done with this? You know, I represent an area, the area of Dubois, where we have lots of wolves dealing with livestock interactions. And I went to the people of Dubois, and I said, here's what I'm thinking of doing. What do you think? Because these are livestock producers in middle of wolf country. And they said, Keith, we support you on this because we're just tired. We just want to know what the rules are. Just tell us what the rules are, and we will live with it. You know, if it needs to be trophy game, which actually they already are in trophy game, that area. And they said, we're surviving. It's working. We just need to know what the rules are, and then we work with them. But continuing year after year to keep coming back and new rules, new changes, they're trying to run a business. And to run a business, you got to know what the play rules are. And that's all they're asking for. And I would ask you to vote aye on this amendment, and let's be done with this issue.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Madam Chair, I agree with one point that the previous speaker had, and that, yes, I would love to have the Game and Fish Department administer this program. However, even with the previous director of the Game and Fish Department, he said, I don't want them. I mean, all they are is going to put an additional burden on the Game and Fish Department. But going back to the rest of it, I've been involved in this issue for probably 15 years, maybe a little less. But I was there at the scoping of the environmental impact statement, and some people want to throw this out. We are still under that environmental impact statement. And during all of this, even when we passed a bill the very first time with a previous member of this body chairing the committee that I now chair, we said, what do you want? We'll do it. We did it. We passed the legislation. And then right after we did, they changed their mind. And they've done it again. And yes, admittedly, a judge has made a decision and makes suggestions what we need to change. And I would remind this body that with my information, the Department of Justice, which actually didn't even do the things that the Fish and Wildlife Service wanted, they had 15 minutes before the judge. Our attorneys had 10 minutes before the judge. And the whole issues with what we want to do and the ability to explain to a judge, we couldn't do it. And, you know, people with more knowledge about the legal system than I do said the judge made a good decision. Well, sure, if he hadn't got all the information, he made a good decision. If he had all the information, that would be something different. And quite frankly, I don't have a problem at all with the beast like this that was improperly introduced in the first place. And you need to check the history and see what a previous governor said when they were introduced. He wasn't even told about it. He had to read it in the newspaper because the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Department of Interior went out of their way to tell the press but didn't tell the state of Wyoming. And I think what we're doing is the proper thing. And I think we need to press to make sure that we are listened to, we are heard. And against this amendment, and quite frankly, when we come to the last amendment, against the bill.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't always agree with my good friend from Teton County. In fact, sometimes we don't agree at all. But I do respect what he's trying to do. But I just want the body to know the rules keep changing. I don't care what we do, the rules are going to change. The committees listened to this, all of this, and voted 21 down. 21 was not the bill we wanted for Wyoming. We've been lied to and bent over backwards for the feds. It hasn't mattered. I do not think by trying to do more that it's going to help us to just roll over and say, go at it. Some would have you believe that Idaho and Montana are happy forevermore. That is not the case. There are a lot of problems in Idaho and Montana, and I've heard they're not happy with what happened there. Folks, this is not so. They just aren't happy, and I don't think that we are going to be happy if we just go down this road. I'll say this again. It's not right for Wyoming. We have to live with what we do here today, and I'm not sure that that's what we want to do. So I'd urge you to vote no on this amendment and no on the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Brown.
Madam Majority Whip. Ladies and gentlemen, I think I heard the statement made that the underlying force here seems to be vindication. And I just can't agree with that. This is not, we are not, nothing that we've done has been calculated to yield a Perry Mason moment. It's not going to happen, and it's not the motivation. What this does is make the Wolf trophy game throughout the entire state of Wyoming. And let me tell you just some of the absurdities that we've uncovered in committee when we've drilled down into that to see exactly what's there. I challenged one of our leading environmental organizations, and I said, how would you feel about this? What if we said, we'll make the wolf a trophy game animal everywhere in the state of Wyoming except one place, one exception. And that one exception would be that a wolf would be a predator inside the corporate boundaries of a city or town. How would you feel about that? Stammer, stammer, stammer. No, we can't do that. It's got to be a trophy game animal statewide. They won't even hear of making it a predator within the corporate limits of a city or town. And I think you've all heard me on this subject before, but I got a little bit of a new line. Can we really visualize wolves frolicking in the cornfields in Goshen County? What does that have to do with anything that we're talking about? It's just totally absurd and makes no sense. Why would Goshen County ever be a place where a wolf would be accorded trophy game status? I agree with the last speaker. It's far from clear to me that Idaho and Montana are in a state of bliss with wolves. And in fact, the other day we saw a newspaper article that was circulated to some people here on the floor where Idaho's offered to catch a wolf and deliver it to anybody that'll take one. They are far from happy with this. Now, the argument's been made that we ought to make them trophy game statewide and that the Game and Fish still has the authority within certain areas of the state to make wolves predators. And that is true. The authority, at least theoretically, exists in the statutes that with a trophy game animal, in some places in the state, the Game and Fish can designate them as predators, and the statute says, and allow hunting without a license. It, to me, is the height of naivete to say that we would ever be permitted to do that. As soon as the Game and Fish did that, they'd be in the same lawsuit that we've been in. It'd just be a different named party. The Game and Fish is not going to be able to designate the wolf trophy game statewide and then, for instance, carve out Goshen County and say, well, but except. in Goshen County, or except in city and towns, or except you name whatever you want to name. We're going to call them a predator there. The name of the defendant just changes in the lawsuit, but the same drum beats on and on. Now, this matter of dual status, and that's what we're talking about, dual status. We're talking about drawing a line somewhere in the state and saying within the area, however it's identified, it's, the wolf is a trophy game animal, and it'll be managed that way by the game and fish. Outside that line, it's a predator. We were in court about that. And the good judge, the good federal judge in Montana said, well, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife flip-flopped on this issue because initially they were opposed to our dual status. And then when they were trying to get a plan together to delist the wolf, and we stuck with that, they turned around and said, okay, we'll accept your plan with dual status. And the opinion from the court says that that was a flip-flop. Well, I think the reason it appears to the flip-flop is because the court didn't understand, because the Fish and Wildlife didn't want to tell them they were losing. We were kicking them from one end of the courtroom to the other. I think that was a good lawsuit. I think it's still defensible. Our Attorney General agrees with me that he thinks it's defensible. And remember, our plan that dual status is based on was peer-reviewed way back when. And 11 peer reviewers looked at it, and 10 of them agreed that our plan was fine. And that plan included the dual status. It included designation of predators in one part of the state. So, in the future, will we go to court and lose? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think there's a lot of smart things we can do. I don't think we're in a good position right now, but this is not the direction we want to go. Sure, we can win in court, give away the farm. I don't think anybody wants to do that. And as far as new rules and new changes, I don't think that'll ever stop, at least for a long time. Certainly the trophy game status is not going to, because the game of fish is still going to have to recognize there are some areas in the state where wolves don't belong. It's just going to shift from this forum to another forum. The name of the defendant on the lawsuit will change, but the drum will march on. So for all those reasons, I cannot... I've said the one thing that I would never give in on in this is the dual status. And that's what you're giving in on if you designate wolves as trophy game animals statewide. I would never give in on that. I think it's a defensible position. We went far enough in the last litigation that we know that we have credible arguments, that they were well taken, that we were having the better of it. And we dismissed that suit when we went into delisting. That doesn't mean it can't be filed again. The same litigation can't erupt again, and I think it's a good position. So I would urge you I'm in opposition to this amendment and would urge you to vote against it.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not to argue it anymore, but just to clarify, there was a comment made that the state of Wyoming was only given a few minutes to argue this case. These type of hearings are done through written brief. So the state of Wyoming certainly had an opportunity to present their case through written brief. The oral arguments are usually just very short oral arguments to allow for clarification. So I'm not sure why the Attorney General would be saying something like that. But and as for the Attorney General now saying that he can go defend this is defensible, you know, I just disagree with the Attorney General. I mean, I wish him luck. But I just don't see how the Attorney General is being able to say that he's going to be able to go win this thing. And I think we're going to lose. And I'd rather get it done with now. But if the Attorney General is saying this, I guess defeat the amendment and wish the Attorney General luck. And we'll hold him to it later.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 32. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 32 has failed. Representative Brown.
Madam Majority Whip, I move third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 32 and will withdraw the amendment at the appropriate time. Ladies and gentlemen, as some of you know, I've done a lot of work in this area. And I've just come to the conclusion that for the moment, I'm not giving up on it, but for the moment, the political realities and the legal realities can't be reconciled. And we all have constituent groups. All of our constituent groups have opinions about this. I tried to find a way, not exactly a silver bullet, but I tried to find a way that that at least some groups could be mollified, and maybe even though they didn't like it, I could talk them into accepting the realities on some positions, and litigating over the ones that we could be successful on, and giving in, or at least not resisting on the ones that I felt we couldn't be successful on. And this thing has really resolved itself down to four areas that were identified by that judge. And incidentally, I think that judge did a really good job, and he wrote a long opinion. There's a lot of time invested in that. He really didn't have to do that. He could have written a one-liner and just blown us off. He didn't choose to do that. He wrote us a long opinion and gave us the benefit of his thinking and the benefit of his research that drew him to the conclusion that he made, and I think it's been very beneficial to us. So the four areas, not to say there aren't some more, and we've talked about that in committee, there may be some more, but the four areas that stuck out to him and made him make his decision, and remember, his decision was on a preliminary injunction, so the standard that he was held to was he had to conclude that probably, when the trial took place, probably the plaintiffs would win, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife would lose. And remember, we didn't lose that lawsuit per se. The Fish and Wildlife said, we want to go try to delist. We want to incorporate into our delisting scheme the plans from all three states. Idaho had their plan, Montana had their plan, and we had our plan. And our plan is what's in existing statutes right now. Fish and Wildlife approved that, bundled it up in a petition for delisting, and went forward. They got sued, and the shortcomings in their bundled up plan started to emerge. This judge came in, gave us the benefit of his thinking, and said, look, the way you've got this put together, I see four things that indicate to me that if there was a trial, the plaintiffs would probably, which were those that were challenging delisting, would probably win. So we didn't lose. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife lost that lawsuit. So the question is, what's our position today? We sit exactly where we were with our contribution to the bundled up package that they tried to use to delist. And the judge identified four areas. Now, I just want to spend a minute on this because you're going to hear this, I don't know, next session. This is far from over. He said, number one, Wyoming did not clearly commit to manage the 15 breeding pair. There's a whole bunch of science and there's talk in there. Let's just get beyond that and say, and he said, Wyoming didn't clearly commit to manage for 15 breeding pair. What we said was, we'll manage for 7 and there will be 8 in the park. And he didn't like that. So I tried to fix that at one point and say, well, we'll commit to 15 breeding pair, but we get to count the park. Well, I couldn't get all the constituent groups totally reconciled on that. I couldn't even get them to be quiet. The second thing the judge said is we've got to have genetic connectivity. And the big rub there, it took me a long time to understand that, but there is a time of the year when these wolves, especially the young males, get kicked out of the pack and they travel. And we know we had a collared wolf killed on I-70 down out of Denver. Well, how does that happen? Well, they get out and they travel. During the time of year when they travel, when they would potentially move from one pack to another, Yellowstone and the Tetons are plugged with snow, and they don't go that way. And so the only route that they have to connect with the wolves in Idaho is around down by Palisades Reservoir, and through the southern area, and where we had the boundary set was worrisome to him, and I love my line there that we might interfere with a wolf that's on his way to a genetic connectivity event. Probably enough said about that. But he said, we've got to do something about genetic connectivity, and then there's a big scientific study that goes all over that. Connected with that, he said our line was malleable, but and I see what he's talking about. He said it's malleable. It doesn't define a large enough trophy game area, and the way we ended up writing the statute, I don't think we did it on purpose. We all really thought the line could move in or out. The judge was pretty suspicious, and based on the language, I think he's right. It's skewed towards saying, well, we could make the trophy game area smaller. It doesn't really lend itself to an equally susceptibility that we could make the area larger. So I think there was some work that we had to do there, but that was difficult. And finally, he didn't like the defensive property thing that was the subject of the first reading amendment. We have some work to do there. We need to see whether we can fashion something that that we can reconcile our constituent groups with a legal position that we think is we have a chance of prevailing on in court. And we're not there. Biting is too high a threshold. Chasing, as one speaker said, even that's too high a threshold. However, this business that, well, if they're hanging around, producer can shoot them is probably too low a threshold. And we need to do some more work on that language, and we need to find a balance point in there. But if you wait until they're chasing your livestock, you've already got a wreck. Well, even if you shoot the wolf, you've got a wreck, you've got injuries, you've got, in the case of cattle, when these wolves get into them, they get so crazy, you can't even keep them in a corral. And you can't work them with dogs anymore. Forget that. And so I understand some of our constituent groups saying if the wolves are hanging around, we already have a problem. We need to find a balance point, and we're not there. So this bill, as it stands, with the Standing Committee Amendment on it, has some very confusing language as to the effective date, delisting, when ours would be effective, when it wouldn't. It does not contain a clear commitment to manage for 15 pair. I don't think that's a position that we ought to be in. It does not commit us to manage for genetic diversity and genetic connectivity the way we need to. And it still has this problem with defensive property, primarily defensive livestock. So it's just a very muddled situation. I have worked really hard with the constituent groups, and I've read that opinion over and over and over again, and I've tried to find in that opinion what could we do that we could probably succeed on legally, and can I get the constituent groups to that point? And I think someday it might happen, but we're not there yet. And this bill, in the form that it's in with the Standing Committee Amendment, is not good. It's not one that we'd want to go to court with. There's no urgency here, no reason to do this, because we don't even know for sure what the standard is going to be. We're changing administrations. We're changing administrators. We're probably changing philosophies. So maybe we could go ahead and pass a bill and get some of this stuff out of the way and get ourselves in a pretty good position and maybe lead the parade a little bit instead of reacting to it all the time. But I'm having trouble with the constituent groups that I don't think any of us want to offend, and we can't get there. So I say, defeat this bill, leave us exactly where we are with the plan that's in place, and let's give this thing some time to mature. Let's see what the federal government's position is going to be. I think there are going to be some variations. They're going to have to react to that federal judge's opinion as well. And then when we know more about what we need to do, and our constituent groups have had some more time to work with this, and our lawyers have had some more time to look at it, we'll take another look at that point. And I think at that point we'll be able to have a clearer vision of what's required, what's an issue, what we think we can win, what we think we can lose, and then let's work on this bill. Until then, let's defeat this bill and just leave the issue for another day.
Representative Yagi, for your first time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple little things. I had quite a speech. I went home and looked up a lot of things about the preemption and the supremacy clause, but I guess the only thing I can say is Wyoming's management decisions were not in conflict until the U.S. Fish and Wildlife changed the rules. We had some good things based on some good science. They changed the rules. To have our good counselor, a member of the TRW that's been following this for a long time and has really been trying to come up with a solution, to have him right now stand up and say the best solution is stay where we are, I think he's looked at it from the legal side, from every side, and I really appreciate him. He kind of opposed what I was trying to do and gently kicked me in the hiney a couple times and said, it's not defensible, and I'll try to do this. And for him to come up with the where he's at right now, saying the best decision is to leave it lay, I think is something we need to look at. So I would suggest we defeat this. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. On and for the amendment and against the bill, I would first like to thank the Attorney General for the work that his office has provided to us and the opinions he's provided to us this session about this particular issue and potential amendments. It has been quite helpful in analyzing where we are and where we might be. Since the beginning of the Wolf bill in the House, we have worked together with the executive branch and been on the same page, and I would like to continue that collaboration with the executive branch. And I don't want to veer off in another direction at this time. And I say that because of the uncertainties that are out there with regard to changing our regulatory mechanism and what we would do. The uncertainties about what the new administration might do, whether they would delist without Wyoming or not. It may be possible that when we come back here in February of 2010, nothing has even happened by the administration. There are competing beliefs and interests in the constituent groups, as the vice chairman of the travel committee alluded to. The chairman of the judiciary committee makes the point, well, maybe we'll have to lose the lawsuit. Well, maybe we will have to lose the lawsuit, but maybe we'll win the lawsuit. That's another one of the uncertainties that are out there. But because the uncertainties at this point are greater than the perceived benefit to changing the mechanism, I'd say that House Bill 32 has left the trophy game area and is now in the predator zone. Thank you.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Madam Chair, you know, I'm on the amendment and against the bill. And while it's quite amusing, the genetic connectivity event, I think part of the problem is that the Fish and Wildlife Service hasn't considered it for the other wildlife. They are the Fish and Wildlife Service, not the Fish and Wolf Service, as our governor has stated. And I think we need to do something about that, and I think, sadly, the legal course is about the only thing we can do unless this administration does something that makes it more reasonable for all the citizens of the state, not just a few. And I want to remind this body that back when we were having some problems in the southwest part of the state with a number of wolves, that I personally called the head of the Fish and Wildlife Service and say, can't you do something now that they're in a lambing area? Can't you do something before they start killing the animals? And there's no doubt in any of our minds that they were going to kill some animals. And basically what it turns out is that the Fish and Wildlife Service are going to be a reactive agency, not a proactive agency. So that agenda will be pushed over into the Game and Fish Department. And whatever they propose, and I'm not sure that we can sit down the table and negotiate with them unless this administration makes it very clear that they should. And I've said time after time that we have a right to sit down when they're deciding what to do, not when they're deciding what to do, not after they present the information to us and tell us this is the way you got to do it. We have the right to sit down with them and discuss that. And over the last 10 years, we have not been able to sit down and discuss it with them beforehand. We need to exercise that right, and the other states need to exercise that right. I just finished reading an email that talked about species all over the United States. In the Endangered Species Act, and even before they're endangered, we have been driven to the point in the states that they're just laying it out to us, and they say, you better do it this way. And I think we've gone far enough. So, on the amendment and against the bill.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just real quick. My concern is, well, one first thing, I heard the comment we're trying to talk constituent groups into things. And I think when you go about solving a problem, especially a legal problem, I think we've been using the wrong model. There are certainly certain types of bills on this floor that the model for problem solving is to try to bring constituent groups together. This isn't that type of problem solving scenario. This is an issue where there's already pre-existing federal law, the Endangered Species Act. Again, you may not agree with it, change it then, but it's the law. We're supposed to write a plan that meets that law. This idea that we have to get all the constituent groups to buy in, it just doesn't make much sense. I mean, either we meet the law or you don't meet the law. That's the issue. And I hate to make this such a legal issue, but if someone hands me a federal law and says, please write a plan that complies with this law, you write a plan that complies with that law. You don't go out and try to talk constituent groups into anything. It doesn't matter what they think. What matters is the law. And the other comment I keep hearing is, well, we're going to be sued no matter what. That's true in any situation. That's not the right question to ever ask. Anybody can sue over anything. The question is, shall they prevail? Have you written a plan that complies with the law? If you have, yes, perhaps they'll sue you, but you will prevail. In this situation, we have not written a plan that complies with federal law. We cannot prevail. I don't care what the executive branch is telling everybody and what the attorney general is telling everybody. We will not prevail on this. The law is clear. The law is black and white. I heard the comment that from the good gentleman from Albany County that the judge is right on many issues. If the judge is right on many of these issues, let's keep working on this. Let's send this bill, and he's right. In the form it's in right now, this is gobbledygook. But let's send this bill over to the Senate. We can continue to work on it on that side of the House, of the building, and get it into a format that will work. Let's solve this problem this year. Let's not wait 5-10 years from now. I don't want the feds running this program for the next 10 years. I'd like the citizens of Wyoming running this system, and I'd urge you to vote to allow the people of Wyoming to run this program and to say no to the federal government running this, and I'd urge you to vote for the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Landon.
Madam Chairman, I just thought I would stand with that very question and make a question out of the statement that the previous speaker addressed, because that was kind of my interest also as to why we would so abruptly kill the entire proposal without giving the other body a chance to address the concerns. So that's a question that I thought perhaps on their second opportunity to talk at the microphone, some might be interested in answering. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time before the sponsor of the amendment? Representative Brown.
Well, thank you, Madam Majority Whip. If the objective is for the people of the state of Wyoming to manage wolves, then ask yourself this. The grizzly bear is delisted. Do you see our Game and Fish Department issuing any licenses to shoot grizzly bears? If you've been up on the North Fork and the South Fork, you know what a problem these grizzly bears are. Are we shooting any grizzly bears? No. Are we running the program just because they're delisted? No. That's where we have to get to. And as far as the black letter law argument, I couldn't agree more. If there's a federal law and it's black letter and it's a lead pipe cinch, then you ought not to challenge it because it's the law. But when you get an act that's 10 pages long and you get a new rule that we got the other day that's 287 pages long, it's written by bureaucrats and administrators, that is not federal black letter law. And it is not necessary for us to get down on our knees in front of it and start sprinkling holy water all over the thing. So with that, Madam Majority Leader, I withdraw my amendment and ask for a resounding defeat of this bill.
House bill having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner. Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Bird.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Dirks. Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubno. Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
no.
Mercer excused, Meyer,
no.
Miller,
no.
Millen,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Philp,
no.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
no.
Semlich,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters, Thompson,
no.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 7 ayes, 52 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 32, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 32 has not passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 125.
House Bill 125, introduced by Representative Davison, an act relating to the establishment of highways, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one, and I will remove it at the appropriate time. There should be a handout on your desk that looks somewhat like this. It says revised statute 2477 at the top, and I tried to find the most objective thing I could find, so there's a particular internet site that I don't know if they're really objective or not, but anyway, just so you had some information on what RS 2477 actually is. That's what this bill is dealing with. It doesn't actually mention RS 2477 in it, but that's the purpose of the bill. RS 2477 was an act that Congress passed back in 1866. And the concept of the law was all the land in the West was owned by the feds, that you would homestead, so you would put your ranch somewhere, that would be your land. But the road to get to your land that crosses federal lands could be a right-of-way. And actually, the law was pretty short. The law just simply said, the right-of-way for the construction of highways across public lands not otherwise reserved for public purposes is hereby granted. Okay, so that was the concept. By 1976, pretty much everybody had finished homesteading, and so in 1976, RS 2477 was repealed. And so where the issue comes about is roads that were existing prior to 1976. And here was sort of how the concept was supposed to work. If you wanted to have a county road and it crosses federal land prior to 1976,
What you need to do is go to your county commissioner, say, we want this to be a county road. We want you to maintain it. We want you to do the speed limits on it, you know, all the responsibilities that come with it being a county road. In our statutes, it's not that difficult to have a county road. It's in Title 24. You put it in the paper. You advertise the legal description. I think there has to be a survey done of it. The commissioners have a public hearing, and the commissioners say, yes, that's going to be a county road. We agree to take on the responsibilities of maintaining that road and enforcing speed, whatever. The difficulty becomes is that, and so that was the concept of how that was supposed to work, that prior to 1976, if you wanted a road to be a county road, you go to the county. Now, the difficulty after 1976 is that some people have come back and said, well, what about valid existing rights prior to 76? I might not have ever actually gone to the county commissioners and asked specifically for them to turn it into a county road. I may have just been using it. And so that's where all these court cases have come from, and there's quite a few. They're fascinating court cases because it puts groups that normally aren't together, and groups that you normally don't see on the other side doing other things. In particular, you see property rights groups occasionally fighting against these type of bills, which you would say, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But here's how these cases have come out. So let's say you have your ranch that you've homesteaded. You have a road that accesses to your property. The federal government has granted you the ability to cross over their lands. Recreationalists, meaning ATV people or I guess mountain bike people, I don't know, who want to use that road have argued, oh, no, I've always used that road. I get to use it across your ranch now. And the rancher says, well, wait a minute, that's my private property. You don't get to ride across my road. Well, no, it's always been here. And so it's a valid existing right under RS-2477 because it's prior to 1976. And so they get in these court cases about, did I ever ride my bike across this road, you know, back in 1972? And it's become what's called the trespassers loophole for private property rights groups. Then on the other side of it, you'll see conservation groups not happy with it because certain areas that maybe the Forest Service or the BLM has said, we're not going to have motorized vehicles in this area. Some groups have come forward and says, oh, no, I've always driven on this road. Feds, you need to reopen that road. And so that's where these clashes have happened. Now, in Wyoming, there have been some court cases, and the court has always come down on the side of the private property owner and against the recreationalists, saying, no, you might make that claim, but we're not going with that because how we read it is you need to actually go to the commissioners and get them to verify that that was really going to be a county road and to go through the process. And so no private property right owner has actually ever lost one of those cases in Wyoming. So just to make that clear. But by putting this into the statute, it opens up the door. And here's what's going into the statute. It's just one little clause. It's saying, well, it starts with no other roads, and then the clause that's being put in, except roads located on federal public lands prior to October 1976. And October 1976 is the date that the repeal of RS-2477 happened, which provide access for a private residence or agricultural operation, shall be highways. The difficulty is then by putting that in there, you're inviting some different lawsuits and from different types of groups. You're inviting lawsuits from recreationalists, ATV folks, mountain bike people saying, hey, I want to use that. You also invite them from the other side, too, conservation groups. I would urge us, Utah's really gotten into this, and you may recall, I can't remember the name of the thing, the Jarbidge Shovel Brigade. Do you remember that case where people were buying shovels and mailing them to Utah as a show of support for this one group, and they were trying to keep a road open, and the feds, I think, had put a blockade on the road, and they dug out the blockade. Anyway, that's what this is dealing with, and I just wanted to make sure we had a full discussion on this. It sort of went quickly through first reading because we were sort of rushed, and to be honest with you, I forgot about doing it on second reading, and I apologize for bringing it so late on third reading. But I just thought we should have at least a little bit of discussion before we made this policy step. I will be voting no on the bill, but maybe we should have a little bit of discussion on it before we pass it.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't agree with my friend from Teton County. We really didn't need to discuss this. But since we're going to, RS 2477 recognizes rights of way across federal lands in Wyoming. And Congress recognized that roads crossing federal public lands were critical to the development and settlement of the West. And so RS 2477, under the state prior to the federal reservation, were to be recognized as county roads. The problem with the existing RS 2477 in 1924 is that it only goes back to 1924. It only gave a small window for counties to dedicate a road. And since it only recognized county roads that cross federal lands, if such roads were created pursuant to state statute, Wyoming County Commissioners only had that window to do it. So it became necessary to look at some other roads. And this bill only deals with roads going to a private residence or an ag operation. It does not impact roads or create new roads across private property. The language in this amendment further restricts RS 2477 claims by a county government to those roads which provide access to a private residence or agriculture position. And the statute would only apply to roads necessary to access those two things. That's all this bill does. I believe it is true you could have law cases about it, but I think that we need to look at this because so much of Wyoming is held by the federal government. Wyoming's local governments need the ability to assert these accesses across federal lands. These roads are not maintained. They don't have to be maintained by the county once they're named. They just have to be named. The counties don't have to go out and maintain them or put up signs or anything. They just have to be on the records as being a county road. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, would you come up, please? Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, a few points made on that discussion on the bill and against the amendment. With my former employer, I went to Colorado on this exact issue to go out with the BLM and other folks to determine the roads that were still located on the BLM lands because my company thought it was important enough to review those simply because it would have inhibited their ability to be able to do work that where they had valid leases. And as I said, it was a company large enough that they thought it was pretty important to do this. And another point is if you really look at this shovel brigade issue and look at what the county commissioners did back then, the problem was that the federal agency blocked off a road that had been used considerably, and they exercised their right under the law to try to step in and do that, and there was a big problem with it. And with that shovel brigade, this gentleman that you're looking at provided one of those shovels for that because I agree with the county commissioner's rights to do that. So this bill, I think, does some of the things that we ought to be doing in exercising our rights. Again, for the bill.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, against the amendment and for the bill. The Judiciary Chairman raises some interesting issues, but from what I understand about this bill that I've learned in the last 5 minutes is that there is an issue, I think, here that needs to be addressed by this bill, and it's the establishment of roads between 1926 and 1976, or 1927 and 1976 in Wyoming, even though this federal act was repealed in 1976, there was a Wyoming statute enacted in 1924 that also impacted the ability to create or establish a county road in Wyoming. And because the state statute and the federal act
seem to not particularly have been in concert. There is a Wyoming case that says this federal act, the RS-2477, these 2477 roads, do not impact private property, and it specifically said that. So we're only dealing with roads on public lands, and that to me says public access, and why shouldn't we be in favor of that? If there are questions, maybe the Senate can dig deeper into the legal ramifications of this, but I'd say at this point, let's pass this bill. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Against the amendment and for the bill, my understanding with all the complications of this federal law that was repealed in 1976 means that the language that was described in this House bill only applies, number one, to currently existing roads. So it's not an issue, I think, that would defeat any of the wilderness issues as far as, I guess, that would concern environmentalists. And number two, it's my understanding that these roads would be restricted only to provide access to, number one, private residences and agricultural lands that are basically landlocked or bounded by federal land if they're not able to use these existing roads. So,
anyone else for their first time? Too late. Anyone else for their second time? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, this could, I won't argue the fact this could affect a piece of private property, but here's how remote it would have to be. It would have to be a road that was in existence before the private ground was patented. Okay? So we remember in most of our part of the country, we acquired all this land under the Louisiana Purchase. We owned it all. And then through the Homestead Act, through property over the years has moved from federal ownership to private ownership. So it would have had to have been a road on that land before it was patented to a private party. Then, the theory goes, decades later, somebody comes along and says, well, under RS-2477, since it was federal land at the time the road was established, and it was then patented, then the road, by virtue of its existence before the private ownership commenced, gives way to a claim. And that is getting so remote with the passage of time. This thing was repealed in 1976. The patents go back. There are a lot of right-of-way issues out there that continue to be litigated and contested, but it is getting so remote. And then this bill says it has to be a road located on federal lands prior to October 1976, which provides access for a private residence or agricultural operation. So that's another limitation that just increases the remoteness that this could ever affect any piece of private land. And it's just a little bit of an anomaly in the law based on a decision we had in federal court. There have been claims about these things on private land, and they've lost in our Supreme Court. There is a little bit of an anomaly in a federal case that came down that said, well, counties using RS-2477 can only declare roads that are strictly in conformance with our statute. And our statute mentioned a whole lot of things, but it didn't mention roads located on federal private lands prior to October 1976, which provide access to a private residence or agricultural operation. And so the remoteness of it is so great that I think we're tipping at windmills, and so I'm against the amendment and on the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, after being a commissioner for 12 years and going through a lot of these processes in western Wyoming, we have a lot of BLM roads, public lands, And this became a big problem, and it is a problem for people that are buying places up. But I would just say that this would protect the people that in good faith have invested their money in their property, and we need it. And I ask for your favorable consideration on the bill.
Anyone else for their second time prayer of the sponsor? Chairman Gingrey, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The comment was made that I tip at windmills. You know, this seems to sum up my legislative career. First question, there was a comment made that the commissioners might have to maintain the road. I didn't mean to imply that. They wouldn't have to maintain the road. The question has to do with between 1924 and 1976, was that road validly recognized as by the county commissioners as a road? I'm not sure if I'm in agreement with the good gentleman from Albany about this before the patent. My understanding of the law was on or after of January 1, 1924, what roads were existing are the highways. The question becomes between 1924 and 1976, roads that are existing, that were created between that period of time, that people are using across federal lands, but they never go and actually get it certified by the county commissioners. Are those roads? The difficulty becomes, and there's cases where you're out there looking at two tracks, trying to figure out, is that really a road? Was that just somebody drove across there at one point? Suddenly, do we have a road there? That's the question. And my concern is that they had an opportunity from 1924 to 1976 to go to the county commissioners, have it declared a road, and these are roads now that we're going to have to go back and look at and determine, is that a road or not a road? That's my concern, and at this point I'd withdraw the amendment.
Bill 125, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubnow.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer excused. Meyer.
Aye.
Miller. Millen.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
No.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lockhart, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 48 ayes, 11 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 125, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 125 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 146.
House Bill 146, introduced by Representative Steward, an emergency medical services sustainability trust, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Steward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 146 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Speaker, I was thinking we should have a good, meaningful discussion about where these funds should be coming from, not so much why we should be doing this. And my amendment merely diverts the $1 million that is going into the EMS Sustainability Trust from a general fund appropriation to the tobacco trust income account. I would tell you that I actually firmly believe this is an appropriate use of these funds. I actually have held on to this amendment for quite some time, and with my inner discussions on how to fund this bill, and two things came to bear when I finally decided to propose this amendment. Number one, looking at our declining revenue projections, I thought it would be important to have this appropriation not profiled in our general fund line items. The other thing I was looking at, when we first came here to this session, we were given a handout in Appropriations Committee that showed that there were $7.4 million available for appropriation in this tobacco settlement account. As of last night, we have profiled a certain amount of that. And I can tell you that as of this point right now, there is a little over $3 million left available for appropriation. It's $3,068,874. What happens with this money if we do not appropriate it? And the answer to that is that this money does go into a trust, and then the interest is available to the Department of Health. So with that said, I do feel that this is an appropriate use of this money, and it is an efficient way to make sure that this money is used for health purposes in a very valuable, meaningful way in our state. And thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Hallinan.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on the amendment and on the bill. I had prepared a little handout for everybody to look at. It's called the State. I'll let you look at the title of it. It's under House Bill 146. And it shows that the state, or the U.S., and the U.S., these tobacco funds, about 4.4% on average across the country are used for tobacco use prevention, and 31% for health services. Wyoming is way above that in the amount that they use for tobacco use prevention, 13.8%, and 57.8% for health services. I can't really think of a better use for this money than the bill that has been proposed. We all know that now the demographics of our state are changing. In a lot of our small communities, we just don't have the volunteerism that we used to have. And unless we're willing to put some money into this health service, which is well-recognized use for these tobacco funds, it may be not possible that we have these emergency services available in all of our communities. So I urge everybody to vote for the amendment and for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Illaway, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm a little concerned. I remember when the Tobacco Settlement Funds Trust was set up, and we all know that the green bulletin boards that you see around the state about secondhand smoke was paid for by tobacco settlement trust funds. This is a great project, the Emergency Medical Services Sustainability. I noticed that they're going to hire 5 full-time at-will employees. I'm just a little bit concerned we're going to keep nipping at that trust fund, and we're going to continue to nip at it, and I don't know how much total money is in that trust fund. I mean, we've heard that there's 3 million, $3 million, we can keep nipping at it, and pretty soon there won't be very much left, especially since we continue to say that we want people to stop smoking and so forth. So the more we stop smoking, which is a great project, the less settlement funds we get into the trust. So you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. But I'm a little concerned. I really don't see anything. I see the good doctor's three-pager state health facts, but he doesn't tell me how much money totally is in our trust fund, how it's doing with its interest. I'm just a little concerned that we keep nipping away at it. It won't be there. On and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Wallace.
I just have a question, and my question is, we've heard some information that this fund, the trust fund, and the other information is not on the goldenrod, and that there are some dollars available for appropriating, and I'm wondering why we're not seeing that, and I'm wondering if there are other things out there that we're not seeing.
Anyone else for their first time?
Thank you.
For your second time. Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't answer the question why the tobacco settlement fund available for appropriation was not profiled. And to just address another comment that was made, that the portion of my bill that addressed five new positions was deleted in a standing committee amendment, just to clear that up. And call for the question. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 146. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
The third reading amendment number one to House Bill 146 is passed. House Bill 146, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake. Bonner,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer excused, Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick, Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 146, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 146 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 287.
House Bill 287, introduced by Representative Philp, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding helium property tax, being an act by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 287, third reading amendment number one, and we withdraw it at the appropriate time. Friends in the 60th legislature, I've been down here quite a while, and this is the first third reading amendment I've ever brought. And I brought it because property tax is a tax on ownership of property. This bill would impose a property tax on a non-owner of the property. There's a brief history I'd like to give you of what's gone on in the area. It's a kind of a well-worn and used thing as far as the helium tax out of this particular facility in southwest Wyoming. There was a tax settlement agreement in 1989, and under that agreement, a large company that was providing the facilities to extract from the sour gas, helium, and methane entered into paying severance and ad valorem tax on the federal helium as long as there was a TSA, which was called a tax settlement agreement, operative. In 2004, the Department of Revenue canceled the TSA. In 2000, which created another series of lawsuits, and in 2007, the Supreme Court held that this large company was not liable for severance or ad valorem taxes on helium. This left this foggy area, and Management Council, in its wisdom, assigned to the Joint Revenue Committee the interim topic of looking at this subject. Neither the Joint Revenue Committee nor the Department of Revenue recommended helium tax legislation for 2009. There are others who've been more involved in this whole tax legal process than I have, and maybe if they want to expand on the history, I'd sure encourage them to do that, because it's been a very complex and time-consuming and costly effort by the state and by others. The federal government, for a lot of reasons that you heard a little bit about yesterday, owns federal helium. And Wyoming cannot tax the federal government. It cannot tax the USA. It's a slippery slope, this bill. It's a precedent for putting ad valorem taxes when we don't have ownership. It could be a precedent for future taxes, property taxes on people that don't own the property. There was a handout that came from an organization that watches taxes in our state, and it's in your inbox. Apparently, you should have had it. I'd only like to just point at one thing, and it was the comment of the group that really studies taxes in our state, and one sentence that's in that handout. This bill is not fair, it's not stable, and has questionable constitutionality. And that was based on the testimony that this group, who follows all of the tax issues, does with the Revenue Committee, which normally hears these kinds of issues. Fellow legislators, we're a nation and a state of laws. And as noted in our Supreme Court decision, and I've lost the date right now, but I think it was 2007, they said the large company that is processing this sour gas and through that process contracts for some helium they are not liable for the helium. Now that said, tax on the helium. That said, the Supreme Court is the one that makes the judgments on what's the law in this state, and that's the present law that we're working under. I urge your support of the amendment and the defeat of the bill when it comes to a vote.
Chairman Illaway, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, pass this outfit, and I can tell you right now that there are any number of folks salivating to get into this. This will go back to court again. Last year we passed a severance tax for helium, and we haven't heard a thing from the company except they pay it. But if we end up and pass an ad valorem property tax, it's going to end up, again, making a lot of money for a lot of folks and not for the state. And I guess I'd ask, just how far could this go? Could we end up, and once we've changed our tax philosophy, could we go ahead and start taxing something else? Maybe somebody that's leasing the house. They don't pay property taxes on leased product or leased property. I don't believe there's a loophole here. I've followed this for some time, been out there, looked at it. The feds own the helium when it's produced. And we've already seen that if it's on state land or private land, there's going to be property tax, but this is something that the company does not own. When they purchase it in that far west county, then they have to pay property tax. But until they purchase it, they don't own it. The county does not collect property tax on the federal helium because the federal government owns it. Now, if we want to change policy, then we need to go to our congressional folks and get them to change the policy, because the federal government is clearly not liable, or even though they may be liable for the ad valorem tax, they're immune from state tax. So I think we need to be very careful how far we go, because I know some of these folks, and they're salivating at, oh boy, the state's going to pass something, and we're going to be in court for another long time. It was a long time, and you can take a look at that sheet that was handed out. The state has been, they're not in court, I don't believe anymore, but the state has been in litigation off and on since that plant was built in 1965. And I dare say that a lot of people have gotten very wealthy. So on and against House Bill 287.
Chairman Anderson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not much of what has been said is fact. We didn't have time to do all the history here. Some of us have lived with this thing for quite a while. In 1988, the company said they don't own any taxes because they were under the net back, and the net back figured back. Formulas figured back to where the gases that was produced wasn't worth anything. Of course, the argument is you wouldn't be bringing it to the surface if it wasn't worth something. But it was not saleable when they brought it to the surface. You have to admit that. So then we went to figure it out. We went to proportionate profits on those, and they were taxed under that measure until January 1st of this year. That, when gas prices were high, was very favorable to the people producing it. When gas prices are low, the proportion of profits is better for the state. So we finally, last year, we came with a modified netback formula, which was agreed by the industry and agreed by the department and agreed by this body of legislators, that this is the fair way to do it. My guess is it'll be under proportionate profits again, because that's the floor. When net back or proportionate profits, whichever one brings the most tax for the state, that's what they'll be operating under. I don't know where that level is as far as the price of gas, but it's getting close again to where we'll be back to proportionate profits. That's the law under we're operating under starting January 1st of this year. It's that recent that we're operating under what we call a modified netback. Now, the statement that neither the Joint Revenue Committee or the Department of Revenue has not recommended anything on ad valorem is incorrect. The department asked for and gave about a 4.5-page memo recently to that we should be considering ad valorem tax after we passed the severance tax bill on helium a year ago. The reason the Joint Revenue Committee didn't look at it this year is it was not assigned by the Management Council, and that's one of the rules. We certainly would have looked at it again, although we're a little bit, the Revenue Committee is, after 10 years of considering sour gas, produced gas, got just a little bit tired of it. However, I'm still in favor of this bill because I think it's a lease whether you spell it with a C or an L. In essence, that's what the company has is a lease. They get all of the product. They pay a little bit for back to the federal government for their share of it, much and no royalties. If it was under a lease, there'd be royalties paid. So actually, it's a better deal for everybody. And to me, it's the same as a lease, although it says contract. So that's up to this body to determine which way we'd go. I think we're and I presume someone will mention it, the constitutional part that says all minerals will be taxed in the state of Wyoming. You got this catch that it's under contract and that's not under a lease, but in the end of the problem, it's all the same as far as I'm concerned. So that's a little of the history on it. There's a lot more history on it than that, but for 20 years, it took us to get to the place where the methane is being taxed without litigation. Now, I promise, I presume, regardless of what we do with this, it'll be in court anyway, so we just will get started.
Representative Patterson for your first time. Madam Majority Whip, would you come up, please?
Mr. Speaker, when I first served in the legislature, I served with one of my very favorite chairmen, and it is with great trepidance that I deviate from the script today. I agree with the constitutionality question of taxing the minerals, but I was there, and we debated for a long time when we were talking about the proportion of profits in the net back section. We actually, at that time, we didn't take it on. There was a lot more work that needed to be done, and I think that that's where we stand on this particular helium. I really enjoyed our look at this at helium at the time. I enjoyed learning a couple of fun facts. We supply a third of the world's helium right out of little Wyoming, and a lot of it is used in the manufacturing of semiconductors and not just for balloons for my kids' parties. I really, and we spoke of the need of the original need for dirigibles during wartime, and that's the reason it began. But the reason I'm trepidant, and the reason that I come forward is because this is a brand new stance, and we didn't, and the Department of Revenue did not come out endorsing this or saying that this is really the big way to go, and this is, and the Joint Revenue Committee didn't take this on, and so I just think it doesn't hurt us to get a little more time and get it right, and I'm not saying that where we end up with won't give us a lawsuit. It seems to be that's the modus operandi for whatever we do, but I don't think that going into it knowing that is where we want to be. So I would speak for the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. When this bill was on first reading, I talked about ducks and that we ought to, if it looked like a duck and it walked like a duck and it quacked like a duck, you ought to treat it like a duck. It's a different analogy this time, and that's one that my good friend who was the former representative from House District 32 used to talk about, and that's let's not let this camel get its nose under the tent on this one. And here's why. We heard that maybe this is a slippery slope, which is a mixed analogy bit there, but who cares about grammar when you're giving a speech on the floor of the House?
look at it the other way. If you're smart enough to restructure your transaction, so even though it looks like a lease and it walks like a lease and it quacks like a lease, you call it a contract, and you just change the point of ownership till after it's mined, and then you purchase it, and we let that camel get its nose under the tent, then why don't we restructure our transactions for gas or coal? Because if you're smart enough to do it for helium and avoid taxation and create a whole series of constitutional issues, you're smart enough to do it for gas and for federal coal, too. We need to be fundamentally fair in how we tax our minerals. And if somebody produces and sells a gas from Wyoming, we should tax it the same way as we tax all of the other gas that's produced and sold from Wyoming. I mean, that's just fundamental fairness. Whether you call it a contract or a lease or FRED, it should be stable, fair, and consistent, whatever you call it. And so I think that this is an important bill, but more importantly, I think it's an important policy statement. And as for the threats of litigation, I guess you got to love that. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. Yeah, the threats of litigation, I guess we wouldn't do anything in school finance. It's only been 20 years, but as the good representative from Campbell County indicated to one of my fellow attorneys, it's not bad, the attorney feed bill. But there are a lot of things we get sued on. But I don't know a great deal about this issue, and I haven't been on the Revenue Committee, and I haven't studied net back and modified net back and proportionate profits, and every time that comes up, I have to re-educate myself about what the heck that means. And it's pretty complex, but it seems to me that essentially when you've got a company that's producing and has entered into an agreement for years to pay these taxes, and then when we say we're going to put it in statute, they say you can't and we won't pay them. That, to me, doesn't jive. Why was there an agreement where they agreed to pay the ad valorem? Certainly there are lots of reasons why you negotiate things in looking at potential litigation. But I would agree that if this was coal, if this was federally reserved coal and we got nothing, would we do nothing? Heck no, we wouldn't do nothing. We would do something to try and get that revenue, whatever it was, whatever federally reserved mineral. We'd work hard at getting our share, which is now 50%. But our share now, apparently, with helium is nothing. And that doesn't sit well with me, and I would be against the amendment and for the bill. Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to address 2 points. First, responding to the good chairman from House District 42 about our changing our tax philosophy, I don't really believe that, or I do believe that taxing people's personal property is kind of far-fetched, that if we are guided by our Constitution, that we are allowed to tax these minerals. If we've got it by our Constitution, then minerals is all they talk about. They certainly don't talk about people's private property rights, and it's a long way from there. And number two is responding to the representative from House District number 7, that the Department of Revenue has not taken a stand on this, and they have. Reading from a memo January 26th of this 2009, they say that this is the only valuable mineral in which is subject to severance tax, but not subject to ad valorem tax. And Article 15, Section 3 of the Wyoming Constitution provides that the legislature has the power and authority to tax this certain type of helium. This proposed legislation, this bill we're trying to pass, will clarify the legislative intent that all helium produced in the state is subject to ad valorem tax. I urge you to defeat the amendment and pass this bill on over to the Senate, where they eagerly await it, and the leadership supports it. Also, I feel that if we don't do this, it's a sign of weakness, and we would be doing a disservice to the citizens of Wyoming. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a discussion. I'm not going to ask you to vote one way or the other. I'm going to vote no, only because it's not clear. It's a federal issue again. Frankly, I want the feds to make this a normal lease so we actually collect even more money than what this bill would do. I want our share, our 50%, or what did the feds do? They pulled 1% of that, I think, a few years ago. I think we get 49% now. Strange. Just like this bill. You know, this concerns, we're talking about one property here, one lease that was leased before the Congress made all helium fall under the federal leasing laws. That was in 1996. All leases since 1996, if you're producing helium, you're paying royalties, you're paying all these severance and ad valorem taxes. It's just this one lease that goes back way before that. The group in question here actually paid these ad valorem taxes for 15 years. They had an agreement. We changed the agreement. Our Department of Revenue changed the agreement in 04. And that's when more lawsuits started. You got to go back even more than that to look at how we're kind of changing policy as we go along, depending on what mineral prices, natural gas in particular, are doing. When natural gas prices were low, you know what? These companies that made these investments, when natural gas prices or any mineral commodity is low in value, they actually can lose money in their investment. And sometimes it's better to lose money for 4 or 5 or even longer years in order to keep the infrastructure intact. I wish we would have done that with the iron ore mine shut down in the county I come from. I wish we would have kept that intact, gave them some breaks and allowed them to operate at a loss for a number of years and kept those 300 high-paying jobs. Now, here, with all these netbacks and all these different systems we've been looking at through the years, when mineral prices were low, we want a certain system because we get more tax revenue. When mineral prices shoot up, then we want to change the system and tap some of that enormous profit potential that's occurring. Frankly, I always want to take advantage of the high prices. You know, in the good years, we should be taxing the heck out of them. In the bad years, we should be cutting them a break. This is one unique situation. They paid the taxes for years. We changed the rules in 2004. Again, we need to collect a tax on this, but again, the feds are the ones in the middle of this. And you know what we think about that.
Representative Stebson, for your first.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just wanted to clear the air on a couple of little points. And actually, the severance tax on helium was one of the first things I faced when I came into the session last year, and I got lobbied pretty hard by the same folks that are lobbying this bill, saying, no, you shouldn't do that. And I voted for it, and I enthusiastically voted for it, because it's a tax on severance, and it made sense that if you're severing it, you pay the tax. This is a completely different animal, and I think if we're weighing considerations of fairness, you should look at what is an ad valorem tax. It's a tax on the ownership of the mineral at the time it's produced. Who owns the mineral at the time it's produced? The federal government. They don't pay taxes. It's pretty much that clear. There's been some insinuation that the difficulty in taxing and doing an ad valorem tax is a result of cleverness of companies or something like that. This is a result of what the federal government did at the beginning of the last century by saying, we own the helium. I mean, it's a pretty simple concept. If the federal government owns the helium and they can't be taxed by us, that kind of reaches the end of the story. We need to come to another avenue if we want to tax helium rather than sort of this round peg square hole approach. There was a discussion about if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck by the good representative from Campbell County. Well, in this instance, what you're really saying is, I'm going to tax you for the other guy's duck. Because that's what you're doing. You're taxing folks that don't have a right to produce this mineral, because the contract doesn't give them a right to produce the mineral. All it does is give them a right to purchase the mineral. And I would say, if you're looking at those, again, balancing those factors, fairness, consistency, this violates all those policies, and you should vote in favor of the amendment against the bill.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, for your first time.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I hardly know where to start, but I would like to address some things that the group that represents people that pay taxes in the state. Just a couple of things on there. They asked if it was equitable. Well, I would ask you, is it equitable that this is the only mineral in the state that is not taxed? They talked about questions of constitutionality, but they never explain where in the Constitution it's said to be unconstitutional. And Article 3, Section 15, I think, is very plain that it will be taxed. And that's what I rely on. That's what the bill talks about and refers to Article 15, Section 3 of the Constitution, and that it may be taxed as prescribed by law. And Mr. Speaker, somebody mentioned that the company is doing this. They have to do it by a lease. But in the 1990s, the federal government passed a law that said they could lease it. However, in 2002, the company went ahead and continued this contract situation, which they benefit from a lot because they escape taxation because of the way our tax law used to define taxpayer as a less or lessee or the lessee's assignee. And so that was how the state lost the lawsuit, was because of the definition of taxpayer. And that's the crux of this bill, is that it changes the definition so that when they control the right to produce, sever, process, and sell the gas, that it can be constitutional, and that's why it is able to be taxed under this bill. And I'm not finding my right paper right now, but the point where the title transfers doesn't determine whether a valuable mineral is taxable. The transfer of title is not required for any other valuable mineral in Wyoming to be taxed, and it should not be allowed to control the taxability of helium produced from federal lands. Article 15, and I've got a handout that tells you all this with my name on it. But what the bill does, it treats all helium, whether it's produced by lease or contract, the same, makes helium subject to ad valorem tax. It stops companies and the federal government from structuring deals which allow helium produced from federal lands in Wyoming to avoid ad valorem tax. So, Mr. Speaker, I'd ask you to vote aye on the bill. It is a good bill, and it plugs a tax loophole.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, just to add to the confusion, the argument seems to revolve around the ownership of a specific material produced in the state of Wyoming. The problem of it is, it appears to me, it just happens to be held protected by the federal government. It appears to me that maybe a little bit of study is necessary on this, maybe during the interim, and possibly for a constitutional change, to take the discussion with Article 15, Section 3, regardless of ownership, federal government or otherwise, whoever produces the mineral. I would suggest that as an alternative. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, Chairman Anderson.
I just wanted to explain a little bit about the tax settlement agreement. That agreement was signed by both the department and the company if I understood it, stand it right now, that it could be canceled at any time by either party. The department decided to cancel it because they felt that the other taxes being paid were inequitable under that tax agreement. Now, that's the way I understand it, and I wanted to be sure that they just didn't back out of some kind of an agreement, but that agreement was cancelable by either party at any time, as I remember.
Chairman Illaway, for your second.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I disagree with my sheep herder friend. I don't think that helium is just any other mineral. It's a mineral that's owned by the feds. And I guess we take a look at what we did last year in 2008. We enacted the law that imposed severance tax on helium, but then we didn't decide. We passed the severance tax. These guys are paying the severance tax, but we didn't add on an ad valorem tax at all. And if we were going to do that, why didn't we do it last year? I know the Department of Revenue writes all kinds of memos and so forth. They're not always right. It's certainly been litigated in court, and sometimes they're not always right. So just because they wrote a four-page memo, don't be necessarily fooled about this. I think we need to proceed with care and caution. If we need to, before we get into a whole bunch of litigation with the attorney stimulus package, what I think we need to do is maybe study this, ask some good questions, and figure out where we are. We've always got next year. I'd much rather not stimulate the those good friends of mine that keep me out of trouble. I think we need to at least study this and not proceed too fast. So, for the amendment.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, for your second time. Prior to the sponsor, Representative Miller, for your second.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly, we keep hearing these references to waterfowl. You know, I don't think this is the normal duck here. It doesn't walk like a duck. And really what I don't understand is why we're shooting the goose when this is supposed to be a duck.
Hopefully we won't have any scatological references. Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know we're hungry. I just would like to address the equitable question. And my question is it equitable for the federal government to make an agreement with an out-of-state producer which enables that producer to take a valuable mineral out of Wyoming without having an ad valorem tax on it? It's up to you.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, for your second time.
Mr. Speaker, and I'll be short, we heard that perhaps we should do this for further study, but it has been studied a lot, and the Department of Revenue has recommended it. Next year, when we come back, if they say this did go to interim study, that's the budget session. That makes it pretty difficult. You got to get a two-thirds vote to get it introduced. So that would put it probably 2 years on down the road. Mr. Speaker, I would submit to you that now is the time to deal with this issue and pass this bill. It doesn't need more study. It's a pretty simple bill, and it's structured much the same as the severance tax bill that we passed last year. It's very much the same. It has the legislative findings in there, what we have found. Nobody has argued with the findings that are in the bill, and they're all things that the legislature has already talked about. In fact, the bill that we passed on severance tax under legislative findings finds that they should pay the ad valorem tax as well. Oh, and I forgot to mention about the iron mine. The iron mine, as I recall, the reason it shut down was that they couldn't come to an agreement over salaries with the union. And at that time, the price of iron ore was low, and they shut down because of that. And that's I guess, all I could think of right now, Mr. Speaker, and I would just ask for your aye vote. I could think of a lot more, but I don't want to bother you with that. So please vote aye on the bill.
Chairman Lockhart, for your second and last time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker Pro Tem said that he will be short. Trust me, I am short. So I'll enter into this wrap-up discussion this way. Companies and individuals within the law try to do things so that they don't have to pay any more taxes than they're legally responsible for. That's not illegal. That's not bad practice. I think that's good judgment. If they don't have to pay them, they shouldn't pay them. So that's my touch on this sort of inference that people should pay taxes that they're not legally obligated to do. The TSA was an agreement that was entered into with both parties thinking that was the best thing to do at the time, and I don't think I need to say any more about it, but it had been brought up. If the Management Council didn't assign this to the Revenue Committee, I was in error. It's probably not the only time I will forget something or remember it differently than it happened. If that was not the case, I apologize to the Chairman of the Revenue Committee, because I thought it was assigned to them. I'd like to just touch on a couple of things. The Department of Revenue apparently cranked out a four-page letter in the last very short period of time. I have not seen that one, so I can't talk about that one. But that was something that could have been done during the multiple meetings with the Revenue Committee throughout the year, and they would have had a chance to review that and act on it if they had chosen to. But in fact, I think it came out after we were down here in session, but since I haven't seen it, I can't reference that. There's a statement at the bottom of the handout from the good Speaker Pro Tem that said, the fiction of passing of title. I think that's a little bit rough on an issue that really is, in law, ownership. And I think if we call that fiction, that there is no ownership change, that's a stretch. We've had a lot of animal and bird kind of things here. I would ask you to support the amendment, vote no on the bill, and have the interim look at this thing as I thought they were charged with last year, and come back. There was an argument that we don't have time during a budget session, but in fact it was a budget session where we corrected what many people's mind was an error, and that was added severance tax to this property. The reason I brought this to, it got to my attention, was not the past history, but it was another company that was starting a new project based on what was the law at the time. And this is this bait and switch kind of thing that's one of those things that really bothers me if we do it in this state of ours, is if you change the rules after somebody has joined in the development of another value-added process in the state. I urge your support of the amendment and defeat of the bill.
Representative Lockhart, or Chairman Lockhart, would you withdraw your amendment at this time?
Well, if everybody's hungry, I will. Withdrawn.
Amendment has been withdrawn. House Bill 287 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner. Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
no.
Cohey,
no.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison, Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer excused. Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Steward.
Aye.
Stubson. Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne. Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 47 ayes, 12 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 287, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 287 has passed the House. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thought we would take up any motions to reconsider after lunch and therefore would move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is in recess until 2 p.m. Announcements, Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess in House 18. We'll finish work on Senate File 72 and Gross, Corporations Act Amendments. And if there's time, we'll take up Senate File 42 and Gross, Select Committee on Local Government Financing, and Senate File 33 and Gross, Public Easements Abandonment.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet this afternoon upon adjournment in 8:17 to hear Senate File 132, Board of Embalming Membership, Senate File 137, Healthcare Rehabilitation Facility, Senate File 54, Physical Therapist Licensure.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet tonight upon adjournment in room H10. Where we will take up Senate File 124, Education Reserve Funding, Senate File 46, School Facility lease Fees Limitations, Senate File 47, Enrolled, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Administration, and Senate File 56, School Finance Appropriations.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. Did you have an announcement about caucus, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem?
Yeah, the majority caucus will meet right now in the Herschler Building Room where we normally eat. See you there.
The garage. Madam Minority Caucus Leader.
Thank you. The Minority Party will have our caucus at the Labor Center, 500 Randall Avenue. We will see you there.
We are in recess.